Welcome, everyone. I'm Pranshu, the community manager for MDN at Mozilla, and I'm here to run a panel which is called Browser Priorities from a Developer Standpoint. And here we've got four lovely people. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi. It's on?
Yeah, right. it's on.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kadir, Kadir Topal. I'm a web platform product manager at Google. But I was at Mozilla before for over a decade. I was actually here in 2004. I think that might be the first time that we had this dev room. So it's nice to be in this room again.
Awesome.
I'm Sylvester, I'm a director at Mozilla. I have been at Mozilla for only 12 years, and I run a lot of different things inside the organization.
Only, yeah.
Only. I'm a newbie.
I'm Tina, I'm working at Opera for last 8 years. I'm working mainly with some QA stuff, like rolling features, like VPN and blocker releases, etc., and also working with user reports. So I'm a person who read bugs, actually. And answer it sometimes. So, yeah, nice to see all of you today.
Thank you. And my name is Patrick. I work at Microsoft on the Edge web browser. I used to be at Mozilla before for a few years. And then at Microsoft, I work on the web platform and the Interop project and a little bit of DevRel. So I'm a bit all over the place. But, yeah, excited to be here.
Awesome. All right. So before we start, I wanted to lay the groundwork on what this panel actually is. It's not a feature discussion. It's not a standards negotiation, right? We're not here for that. We don't want to start any fights. But we really want to help you understand how do browsers ship, right? And how can you play a more influencing part in that? And yeah, to start with, I think let's start with the big picture and interop for Kadir. From a browser engineering perspective, what has changed about interoperability, say, in the last 5 years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. About 5 years ago, we had our first big developer survey, and one thing that came out of that was the MDN web developer needs assessment, the MDN web DNA. It was 30,000 developers answering questions. And the biggest issue facing developers was interoperability. So that's where we really saw for the first time at scale that that's really something that we have to solve. And since then, we've started a bunch of things. One big thing is the interop program, which is where for the first time since we've started shipping the web, browser vendors are actually coordinating on what to ship in the next year. So many people haven't heard of that probably, but it's the major browser vendors and the ecosystem coming together, looking at proposals, and then deciding what's going to be interoperable by the end of the next year. So that's new. And what we are also now doing is that we're looking at making the web platform easier to understand with baseline. So that's something that didn't exist 5 years ago. But these days, if you want to know, does a feature actually work interoperably? The answer to that question is usually, is it baseline or is it not baseline? And those are things that, yeah, we've only had for a few years, but they've changed fundamentally how interoperability works on the web platform. Mm-hmm.
I would actually like Tina's opinion on this, because something working in theory, something interoperable in theory versus actual real testing. How has that changed in the last few years?
Regarding how it works inside our teams now, for the last 5 years, probably over the pandemic, like the years, we rely mostly on analytics team now. So before it was a kind of bug fixing just when bug appears, so we start to fix it, and now we try to analyze the gaps using different analytical tools, usually it's Looker or side. I don't want to deep dive like into details, but it helps us a lot, and it also changed our culture inside the company, so yeah, in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that browsers broadly agree today, right? And I mean, yeah, we do. But are there any interoperability problems that remain difficult to fix? Maybe Sylvester can answer this. Patrick, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, sure, there are always interoperability problems. One is the platform evolves all the time, and if the web is to win, it needs to absolutely continue evolving. And because it does, and it does in a messy way that's non-linear, there are always differences between browsers. So although we do agree on the massive amount, like the majority of the things, at the fringes is where it breaks. And I guess another example of this is different OSs, different devices, hardware, means that even if we all agree on the same things, it's not going to work the same everywhere all the time. WebGPU recently launched and is supported by all major browsers, but it doesn't actually work on exactly all of the different, you know, combinations of OSs and browsers. And so there are some areas where it's just like that, and we have to take it into account, and it's messy, but eventually we get there along the way.
Mm-hmm. While we're at it, how do you balance that developer expectation, whether it's enterprise, whether it's an individual user?
So enterprise, excuse me, enterprise is a big thing for Microsoft, which I work for, obviously, because we have a lot of partners and they're our customers, and we need to make sure that they have a great experience. And I think it's actually, they are usually the first ones to upgrade to the latest version of the browser because they want the latest security fixes. Security is super important to them. So not everything is a problem. But we also do realize and we understand and we work with them on like apps that they have that are business critical, right? And they can't really always change. And also not all markets in the world are on this evergreen kind of web thing that most of us are on, I guess, in this room, where we always have the latest browser versions. So we have to be conscious of that. And we have to give IT admins at enterprises the way to like set flags, to like turn off some stuff, or to remain in a sort of a legacy mode for a while. Like we do this at Microsoft Edge on like a browser basis or a per site basis. We give them the tools essentially to stay, to keep on having their business critical applications running. So it's nuanced. There's no like one answer, but it is something that we have to care for pretty much eternally because the web is here to stay.
That's true. Kadir and I were talking about the scale of the web and how many users does the web platform actually cover at the end. It's more than 5 billion maybe, yeah? And yeah. But these are the good things when we align. Let's talk about a bit about when we don't align, right? To Sylvester, right? When browsers drift apart, oh, there's a mic. When browsers drift apart, is it usually because of lack of resources, issues, or genuine technical disagreement?
Well, I think the common answer when we talk about browser, it's really, it depends. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes we are going to align. Yeah. Sometimes we disagree. So some of the typical things are, which has been a lot of, a big subject of discussion inside Mozilla is things like web USB or mm-hmm. web serial. Google has been pushing those things for a long time and we started also to change our mind. For example, for web serial, we realized that we have better way to make it and to make it more secure. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we disagree at the beginning and sometimes we are going to change our mind. Another big subject that we have seen for a long time is WebRTC. So mm-hmm. some of our competitors were not implementing WebRTC exactly the way they should do. So we have been discussing with them in various forums like W3C and so on to say, can we align on those things? Mm-hmm. But they are so complex and so intertwined, so sometimes it takes forever. But we also, on the positive side, we collaborate a lot on the technical level. So for example, Google is now using Rust inside Chrome, which is initially a Mozilla project. We share a lot of libraries and code. We often contribute. It's very common that, well, not that common, but sometimes we find security issue on Windows and we are going to report them to our friends. We have a private mailing list where we can share this kind of information. So we collaborate a lot. We are competitors, but we are also partners in many subjects. And we like to improve the security of the web.
Hmm. Well said. Anybody else wants to answer that?
WebRTC, no?
Awesome. So while we broadly agree on standards, right, where do standards sometimes give the impression that a problem is solved, right, even though developers still don't see a different behavior in their browser, right? So I think I'll pass it on to Kadir that,
Issues. Oh yeah. So you know, yeah. Sometimes. that's yes. Yeah. Sometimes it looks like a browser has implemented a feature, and they have, but the feature still doesn't work interoperably everywhere, and that is a big issue for developers. Mm-hmm. So we have two ways to address that. One is, and we've heard about that today already, web platform tests. Yeah. So we have, I think at this point, like what is it, like over 2 million tests running in web platform tests. The web platform is huge. And so what we're trying to do is get features to ship with high quality test suites. And that allows us hopefully to catch those things before they actually hit users and developers. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's not possible. So they do get out. And at that point, it is always a prioritization issue of like fixing issues. Sometimes that's difficult because there's already an expected behavior that you can't easily change. But one thing that we're now trying to do and have been doing over the last few years is within the interop project, those also are things that we try to align on as browser vendors and try to ship things truly interoperably. So. We don't just use interop for new features that we align on, but we also look at what are features that we've already shipped, but developers can't use them because they are too buggy. And so the first few years of the interop program were actually focused on that. So like lots of CSS Grid and CSS Flexbox issues that we fixed in the first few years of that program. And there are still more. But the way to actually do that is we're trying to get better at web platform tests coverage.
Right. And I think interop is common for everyone. We come together and collaborate. What does that look like on Google's end? How does Google talk with other browser vendors and collaborate when it comes to interop?
Yeah, so that is the main, I mean, we do it all the time with browser vendors because that's the only way to really ship things to the web platform. So we try to get things to consensus because developers oftentimes rely on that interoperability before they can start using a feature. So even if we don't initially have maybe buy-in for things, we will still experiment with those things. But we'll go back and try and show that if there is developer interest, we show that there is developer interest and try to build consensus around that. And again, the way we have been doing that in the last few years has been through the interop program, which anybody can send proposals to.
True.
So I think this year we had more than 150 proposals. Some of those things Chrome had already implemented. Some of those things other browsers had already implemented. And so that was the way to maybe get convinced again or look at the data again. JPEG XL is maybe a good example of this. So originally we weren't convinced that there was a need. And we thought that maybe there is already a good solution to that problem. And over time, by hearing from developers about that issue, that convinced us that, no, actually there is something here that we have to address. And so the interop program is really the way where we coordinate these things.
And JPEG XL is actually one of the highest rated ones from the community, right?
Yeah, it's one of the new things that we've launched called Developer Signals. You can find this on caniuse.com or if you go to webstatus.dev, there's an upvote button that gets you to a GitHub repo where we collect information about like what are developers using these things for, where are the issues, what are the workarounds that people are using, and what are the use cases. So that gives us lots more context for those things. And in the case of JPEG XL, we've used that information to change our mind on that one.
That's awesome. Let's get into the decisions that developers really see. So, Sylvester, what kind of trade-offs do browser teams make that a developer rarely sees?
So I think even Google are struggling with headcounts in general. So there are so many things that we want to do on the web, but limited time and resources. So we always have to make trade-off. So for example, in my team, in my org, we do a lot of different things. So we do engineering workflow. So we provide the tool for the Firefox community to hack on Firefox. But we do also translation. So we always have to make trade-off. Of course, at the end, the user of Firefox or Edge or Opera or Chrome, they don't care about the number of resources in the engineering teams. They want to get new features. So we always discuss among ourselves. We define what is a priority. We get feedback from everyone inside the organization. And we also look at interop and what our competitors are doing and what the web devs they want. So we pay a lot of attention. But you can see that I have gray hair. It's probably because of that. It's all the trade-offs that we have to make all the time because the web platform is way more complex than an operating system, and everything is moving super fast. So it's very hard, that job. And it's impossible.
But then when push comes to shove, how do you prioritize? How do you decide what to prioritize first? It's developer experience, consistency across browsers, or scalability?
It's everything at once. So you have to prioritize. It's not like you cannot say web compat is not going to be a focus this year. You always have to do those things. On Firefox, we have thousands of developers every year. So we need to make sure that the processes, the CI works, and so on. So you cannot say we are not going to do those things this year. You can deprioritize some things, but you always have to invest in all those fields. You cannot slow down.
That's awesome. Once we've shipped something, right, what trade-offs do browser teams make between test coverage, shipping speed, catching real-world compatibility issues? That's for Tina.
Okay, it depends on the area probably in which we will dive deeper, because if we're talking about, let's say, Chromium index, yes, here we need to rely heavily on some automated tests, and because we need to speed up, we need to deliver this, let's say, security updates very fast. So here, it's testing quality, of course, and we also need to keep a high level of internal testing. Like, we need to get sure that Opera Core tested well, because those things that we add and not connected to Chromium Core, it also should be delivered and tested well together, like in a together with a Chromium Core. So we need to know how it will impact real browser behavior. Also, like, for example, such kind of things that maybe developers didn't think about, but for example, we have some web platform tests, but then we can't rely on them in 100%, because we have such feature as sidebar setup, and in sidebar, let's say we have some messenger, I don't know, Facebook messenger, and we also have to test how it will work together after an update, after releasing new updates from Chromium, how will work different context menu inside this panel, because the width is let's say. Less like we resize it and etc. Mm-hmm. So it how it works. So it's hard work, let's say.
Oh, that's awesome. And how does scale come into picture here? Do you worry about scale on how many devices, which regions, oftentimes when you're testing those features?
Like internally, we have we rely on a special lab, like we call it. So we tested it a huge amount of devices, but if we're talking about desktop, we shouldn't rely on such amount of the devices, of course. So for the desktop, it's just operational systems. It's Windows, Mac, and Linux. They should be tested, and that's all.
Awesome. Cool. Next one is for Patrick. I would love to know which engineering trade-offs most strongly shape browser priorities in ways that developers tend to underestimate.
I think it's easy to underestimate the fact that the browser is just the window to everything else. The browser is the most used app on any, like on desktop for sure. and it's the portal to everything else. And so you can literally access any untrusted code on your computer at any time. And I think it's easy to underestimate the trade-off that that causes to us as a browser team, and that means privacy and security are paramount. Like, they're super important. And like, recently I was looking at the local fonts API, which is an API that's proposed to access the list of fonts on your system. And we can't really do it, actually, because if you do, it's a way for potentially bad actors to fingerprint your device just by knowing the list of fonts that you have. So there's all of these things are trade-offs that we have to constantly make. Because we run untrusted third-party code, we just can't open up everything. And that's also why sometimes we don't agree between browser vendors, because some things are, you know, seen as more difficult or complex security-wise or privacy-wise by certain vendors and less by others. So yeah, that's a big trade-off that we have to make all the time. Government regulation as well comes into play. There are different per geographies. Obviously, we have to keep all of that into account. We can't just do anything we want on the web. We have to take all of this into account all the time.
Okay. And can you talk about a bit about backward compatibility and how much that matters?
I mean, it matters a lot. And if you take the first website ever created, it still runs. Spacejam.com still runs exactly the same as before. So it's very, very important. But I think one thing that developers and even me didn't really realize until recently is that backwards compatibility is not guaranteed. We do take stuff out of the web on a regular basis, more often than we probably realize. Web SQL, I think, was the biggest, most recent one that was just removed. We obviously need to do this gradually, because otherwise we break the web, and no one likes to break the web, but it is something that can happen every now and again.
That's awesome. While we've talked about backward compatibility, I think we need to look ahead in the last 5 minutes. This is an open question for everyone, so I would love for each of you to answer this. What is one realistic improvement browser vendors could work on together in the next year or so? In practical terms, what does good enough interoperability mean?
I mean, I can start. I would flip it around. I would ask the audience, what do you want us to work on? What is the most important? And that's why we have all of these surveys and repository to capture feedback, because we want to stay honest and do the things that matter the most for everybody. And I think something you said before, Silvers, which is it's a game of consensus. We have to agree on stuff together in the same rooms, and we discuss all the time. But we all come with our own perspective. We come edge, we come with like a bit of enterprise perspective, and other vendors may come with other perspective, and it's great. It's how we push forward. We get all of these different voices, we bring them all to the table, we have these use cases from them, and together we can like shape the web into what it is.
That's awesome. Tina?
Yeah, like what come to my mind, it may be some kind of protocols regarding some concerns. For example, after some operational system updates, if user choose browser, then it should be the same browser as user chosen, and something like that. So maybe more working together regarding those kind of protocols.
So initially, I was going to say continue what we have been doing, but there are places where we can improve, and we haven't talked about AI at all, and I have to talk about AI, but more seriously. We see that we are all trying to do different things in our own way, and we need to be smarter. Like, it's not going to go away. All our companies are investing in those spaces, and we don't want to fragment the web with AI, so we'll have to coordinate more in the future. But what does it mean? How it is relevant to the user? How is it safe? And a lot of unknown. So it's going to be exciting to see what we can do or not do.
That sounds good.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about AI. Yeah.
You know, one thing that we've been doing with the Interop program that's been really great is we've identified solutions and that were already in flight and needed interoperability. And that's been working really great. But that's, of course, very late in the process. So one thing that I would love to see more of is us identifying spaces of opportunity, like web UI, where we see stylable form elements, for example, is like an issue. That's not just one feature. That's a whole area of improvement. So aligning on those things is way harder. Getting data around the needs in that space is harder. But I'm hoping that we can do more of that. But also, if I'm allowed a second one, I would love for more people, developers, companies on the web to get involved in shaping the platform, because it's like it's the one platform that is really truly doesn't belong to anyone. It's a decentralized development, really, and for the most part, it's the bigger vendors that invest, but there are lots of others who live on the web platform and love for them to actually get more involved in expressing their needs, but also in contributing to engines. Like, all of the engines are open source. It's a huge opportunity that doesn't really exist anywhere else. So I would love to see more of that from the community.
Absolutely. That's actually a great segue into our channels. Let me get to the next slide. Yes. Right. Get heard. So we've got four ways that you can get heard, get involved, interop. I think the 2026 proposals will be out soon. But please voice your opinion. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go through this one, interop 2026 is now going to be announced. But every year, once a year in the third quarter, there is a we are opening it up for proposals. So get ready for that, because that's we really look at that. State of surveys, that's the state of HTML, state of JS, state of CSS. We look at the results of those. We go through them together. So absolutely worth taking those surveys. The can I use feedback, so this is not just on can I use, but what Patrick mentioned, the developer signals repo, but it is exposed on can I use. Yeah. If you're in a hurry, just leave a upvote that you need that one. But if you have more time, let us know about your use case. And you can do that throughout the year, anytime. And then the last one there is that's where the feedback actually goes.
Yeah.
That's the repo where you can get an overview of, like, what did everybody else say?
Yeah, that's perfect. We are already up in terms of time. I'm sure you have questions. Please find I actually request you to stay around for the next 30 minutes. Please find them around the dev room. But yeah, a huge applause for our panel today. Thank you so much.